This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You'll then have 15 minutes, inshallah, to drop your questions into the chat and to ask the Sheikh anything that is relevant to the topic of the class today. Then we will jump into, of course, our fan favorites, the Quranic Reflection Circles with Sheikh Saad Taslim, inshallah. And today we'll be covering a verse from Juz number 6. Jazakumullah khair for joining us, Imam Yahya Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing this morning?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair for having me. It's always a pleasure, alhamdulillah, to connect with people all around the world. Even more of a pleasure, mashallah, that's with our students at Al-Maghrib. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fast, assist us all in that which is pleasing to Him, provide for us from where we assume it cannot be provided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the little that we do in the month of Ramadan and increase it for us and assist all of us, inshallah, to doing and having the best Ramadan ever. Allahumma ameen.
Jazakallah khair for that, Sheikh. I'm actually curious, are you... what time is this right now? It's probably 5 a.m. It's the middle. Is it pre-fajr, post-fajr?
I got 10 minutes for suhoor.
SubhanAllah. And you're gifting it to us. I hope that you got...
No, a little bit more. A little bit more than that. A little bit more. Okay. But yeah, inshallah. So I'll roll from you into Salatul Fajr soon after, inshallah. But I do apologize if you're fasting and I'm drinking in front of you. Forgive me for that.
No apologies necessary, Sheikh. Jazakumullah for making those sacrifices of sleep and time this morning, Australian time, to join us, inshallah. So for you, I think it's just about to be fast number 6, inshallah?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, tabarakallah.
Right, Sheikh. I'll pass it to you, bismillah. Let's start.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد في الأولين وصل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا وقلبا خاشعا وبدنا على البلاء صابرا. We always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in beginning and end to allow us to gather together for a purpose that is pleasing to Him, to make us from those who are worthy of His mercy, and to allow us, bi-ibnihi ta'ala, to ascend our ranks and our dealings in our relationship with Him through the relationships that we build with others. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this blessed month of Ramadan a month of forgiveness, a month of healing, and a month of expiation from our sins, that we can make a change in our life, a concrete change in our life that betters us as we move forward into the future. Allahumma ameen. It's always, alhamdulillah, a pleasure to meet with our brothers and sisters from different parts of the world virtually. And I just wanted to acknowledge, subhanAllah, some of the hardships that I know many people are going through. I know in Ontario where Sister Hafsa and some of my dear friends, my family, are in Toronto, Milton, and all of these areas, that there is so much longing to be a part of the masajid and fulfilling Salat al-Taraweeh and being a part of the greater community that we appreciate in the month of Ramadan. But subhanAllah, this year and the previous year, with some of the COVID restrictions and some of the hardships that have arrive to us, it is something that is not just a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our patience and endurance, but in terms of the longevity of our faith. So I wanted to address that from the perspective of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our great and noble Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, lived a COVID lifestyle, kind of lifestyle, a clamped down lifestyle, where everything that he wanted to open up, every experience that he wanted to have, every place that he wanted to visit, our great Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was restricted and banished and pushed back from. That there was a lacking of reception, there weren't open doors, there was a constant state of hijrah from one place to the next, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he was isolated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Prophet Ibrahim in a very unique way. You don't hear this description about anybody else. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Ibrahima kana umma. Ibrahim alayhi salam, unto himself, he was a nation. Now, that kind of, you know, we kind of look at that word and say, wow, his iman was so great. He had such great faith in Allah. But what I want you to also see is that he was singular. And we have this statement as Ahl Sunnah, kun al jama'a wa in kunta wahdak. You know, you can be the a jama'a even as an individual, even as one person, that you can represent the truth. And the Prophet ﷺ said, bada al-islamu gharib. You know, Islam began as something that was distinct from that which surrounded it. It was something that was unique. It was something that was isolated and precious. It was something that was a rare commodity. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَى. Although Islam will expand and will move forward, it will return and regress back, not in terms of numbers, but in terms of the quality of faith, in terms of being an ummah unto oneself, in terms of being a faithful believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied would happen. And that's, it's not only due to the Muslim ummah's making, but it's due to the circumstances that we live in. So I wanted to begin the story of Ibrahim as the story you and I are living today. That we are moving from one place to the other, where there are restrictions, whether from our own doing or others' doing, that have been put upon us that don't allow us to expand and to connect with people in the ways that we have normally operated and been accustomed to. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to have a self-confidence and a self-awareness of our faith that allows us to be confident in how we lead our homes, how we lead our families, how we lead our communities to that which is righteous, how we lead each other as individuals that represent the great jama'ah of the Prophet Muhammad and ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah described him from a very young age before his Islam. And one of the unique things about all of the prophets, all of the messengers of Allah, is that the life story that they had before Islam was delivered to them was as significant and as important as when Islam approached them, and the tawheed that they recognized in their heart became familiar to them in a more formal way through revelation. It was something that they always knew, they always felt it, there was always this connection. Ibrahim always had an aversion to worshiping an idol. He always knew that this was unbecoming, this, how can I worship something that my own hands created? He had that inner fitrah that was always alive, that was always always present. But at that same time, that life before revelation arrives is always a very important indicator of the life that will come after. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Min khiyarikum, the best of you in Islam will also be of the best of you who came, who were of the best of you before your Islam," right? So when you think of Abu Bakr, and you think of Umar, you think of Uthman, you think of Ali radiallahu anhum, you think about Aisha radiallahu anha, you think about Khadija radiallahu anha, these luminaries within our faith, they were the Ibrahims of their time. They were those who recognized that there is something better that is on the other side, that if I, you know, when I come into faith, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, that their commitment will erase any missteps that they had before it. Umar radiallahu anhu, in the day that he accepted Islam, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as I was, ferocious and vicious against the believers, I will not leave any stone unturned where, except that I give victory to the believers and to the faith from now on. And therefore, that commitment that he had in that which was immoral became the commitment that he represented in that which was moral to a greater extent. And I want that to be the story of Ibrahim that I present with you today. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who was staunch in faith, committed to the ideals of truth, clarity, credence, iman, in an unconventional manner to everyone that surrounded him at that time. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, He was a person whose heart always was searching for truth. And I want that to be the first step for you and I that we can take away from this message, because we're not here just to, you know, speak about the fanciful stories. It's not mythology. It's not, it's meant to be a moral code and a socio-ethical mind map for you and I to follow moving forward. It is the essence of the dua that you and I make in the Quran when we open it and we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Lead all of us to that straight path, the path of those who favored before us. غير المغضوب عليهم, not the path of those who had an aversion to the truth, who went off the path, ولا الضالين, or those who were misguided. Oh Allah, lead me to that which is the path of Ibrahim. And Allah says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ نَفْسَهُ. No one strays away from the path of Abraham except somebody who has befooled themselves, somebody who has misguided themselves and has been led down an incorrect pathway by their choosing, by their commission, because you know the way that has been proven and you chose other than it. So the first takeaway message that I want you to know is that within your heart, that the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a path of consciousness and is a path of fitrah, and it is a path where your heart will recognize it if you open your heart to that which is truth. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a very young man, was one whose heart was aware, was one who was thinking, was one who did not, you know, did not hold back the intent of searching for meaning and searching for to answer the questions that are found naturally in the heart of all of us as human beings. And this is, you know, a powerful and important moment in human history. You and I are living in things, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines more generations for mankind in the future, that they will write back as they do about the Spanish influenza today, and we go back and analyze it. People will speak about the times that we live in today. And what needs to kind of show within our Islamic history, within our Islamic leanings, is that there was a self-confident people who searched for signs and truth in the difficulties that they were in. That was Ibrahim alayhi salam's precedent that you and I can take from. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a young man, as a young thinker, as somebody who is, you know, looking at the world, he would look up into the stars and he would look up into the heavens and he would look to that which is before him, that which is beneath him, that which surrounds him, and that which is within him, within his consciousness. And Allah speaks about this in the Quran, where he says to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, constantly in the Quran, you know, look up into the sky, look up into the stars, look up to the sun. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. You know, don't they look up to the sky? كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. What has kept it in the heights that it is? And when you kind of think about that, you know, living in Australia at the moment, it's a shocking statistic for many people. One out of every three, and it's now getting closer to one out of every two people, develop a form of skin cancer or melanoma due to the lack of ozone layer in certain pockets in Australian territory. One out of every three people in Australia will develop that. Obviously, there's a lack of, you know, commitment to wearing sunscreen and other things, all of that, not covering up as much as people should. But I want you to kind of think about that statistic. And I want that to be something that's significant, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, look at the heavens. Have you ever thought about what protects you from the sun? What keeps the earth at the temperature that it is? What is it that has kept oxygen at a level that you and I are able to breathe it? If you were to climb up 3,000 meters up into a mountain, your breathing changes. It takes much more effort to remain, having the same oxygen levels in your heart and in your chest. What has made oxygen so balanced that on the surface of the earth, It's effortless for us, and it doesn't float away. Why can we live here and not in Mars? Well, you know, the balance that is found, the temperature of the Earth is significant. So when you wake up in the morning, like I did yesterday, and you hear that the largest iceberg has broken off, you know, a continental shelf from the Antarctic has broken off, and it's due to climate change, and there's seismic shifts in climate change, you begin to wonder and you begin to worry. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ. Don't you look up into the sky? Don't you look to the earth that's beneath you? And that's why when Allah, He speaks about, He's the one who created the heavens and created the earth. He's the one who created what's above you, but also what's beneath you. And what's وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى, and what's beneath the earth that you're not aware of. It's such a powerful ayah in Surah Taha, where Allah speaking to the Prophet ﷺ and the people of Quraysh, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and above it, all that is in the earth and all that is beneath the earth that you're unaware of. Could you imagine if like Abu Jahl knew that there's oil that is, you know, billions of dollars worth, the black gold that he was seated on? Could you imagine the arrogance that he would have had aside from the arrogance that he had? So there's things that human beings, we have arrogance with today, that if we actually knew some of the value of some of the things around us that we haven't yet come to understand, you know, mankind would be even more arrogant. And subhanAllah, with the audacity that we have today, we think we dominate this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yunus, which is a product of you and I's understanding of how Ibrahim saw the world. When Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I made it known to Ibrahim my command, the command of the realms of the heavens and the earth. Ibrahim understood. He understood the majesty of Allah from looking around him, that this idol is not Allah. This cannot be the one who made everything into being. He came to understand it. It didn't require the angel Jibreel yet to reveal it to him. His heart looked into the heavens, into the earth. That which is science and that which was not, you know, I use the word science meaning that which is through the senses that he has, he could extract knowledge that led him to understand that there is something greater as a greater force in the world. Allah tells us in Surah Yunus, حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَيَّنَةً, until the moment the earth has taken on its splendor and its beauty. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا, and mankind who live upon it, who are not of it, who did not make it, they assumed قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا, that they have all the power and dominance over it. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُهَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا, my command arrives to this very same earth that they believe they've taken ownership of, in a moment of the night or a moment of the day. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ, I leveled it, raised it, I mowed it down as if it had known no beauty before. Subhanallah. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ, people, you know, we assume that the world was always going to be as it is. And even, you know, when this whole COVID and the scourge of COVID happened, people just assume, oh, it's just the flu. It's going to be like SARS, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Everything's just, why is everybody panicking? And then people start hoarding toilet paper. Everybody starts panicking, right? Because nobody's heart is aware that, subhanAllah, there's a greater power. There's greater, Allah just said, pause, stop. You don't have power of the heavens and the earth. You do not command the rains. You do not command, you know, you may assume that you can have scientific invention, that technology can solve all your problems, but it can't. And whether you have one vaccine, two vaccines, 100 vaccines, there are still other motions in effect that is beyond it. May Allah allow our vaccines to help us and allow the cures to be allowed and allow transport to resume and to travel and to meet everyone. But don't think أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا, you do not dominate anything. So Ibrahim understood that. And that was what upset his father. That is what upset the kings. That is where the contention came from. That's what everyone was, you know, what is this kid saying? There's this moment in the books of Tafsir where Ibrahim asks his mother, he says, Ummah, you know, my mom, who do I have to listen to? She says, me. Like every mother, mashallah, you listen to me, son. And he says, well, who do you listen to? She goes, your father. And he says, well, who does my father listen to? You know, he's a chief priest. She goes, the king. He says, well, who does the king listen to? So she smacks him. She says, hey, you're going to get us all in trouble. You know, you can't go beyond. There's, you know, this is the one who's dominated power. You can't speak truth to power. You can't question authority. You know, there's a power on this world that you, that's it. And Ibrahim's like, no, but hold on a second. I can question you and I can question my father where there is reason. I can teach as much as receive. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes arrogance as being where an individual rejects the truth on account of the one who brought it forward to them. So you look to your son and say, what do you know? You're a young kid. What do you know? Right? That's exactly how Ibrahim was treated, alayhi salam. So that's the second, you know, I think important lesson that we take from the stories of Ibrahim. The third powerful lesson is Ibrahim alayhi salam being one who wants to see the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I want this to be something that you can kind of take a lesson from. That it is okay to reconcile faith. Now listen to the word I'm saying. It is okay for you and I to seek to reconcile our yaqeen and our certainty by seeking objective outcomes to strengthen our faith. And that's not called questioning faith. You know, asking about wanting to know more about our faith is not questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that becomes a healing to the heart. Tonight, inshallah, in Salat al-Taraweeh, I'm going to begin from Surah Al-Ma'idah. And the section I begin is, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلُ. On the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the messengers. What do you have to say about why I sent you and the delivery of your message? And then Allah will focus on Isa alayhi salam. And in that passage, إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. See, all of the prophets of Allah, they had to reconcile faith for themselves and others, not out of lacking faith, but لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, but for the hearts to find coolness and ease. The Hawariyin, they ask Jesus, peace be upon him, after they've seen, after Allah, you know, speaks all of the beautiful miracles that were given to Jesus. تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهِئَةِ الطَّيْرِ. You take clay and you mold into shape of a bird. فَتَنْفُقُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِي. You breathe on and becomes a living bird by my protection. That's an ayah. تُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ. You will bring healing to the blind, the mute, the unable to hear. بِإِذْنِي, by the power of Allah. تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَ بِإِذْنِي. You will bring one who was passed away to life by my order, by my leave, Ya Isa. And then the Hawariyin say, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ. Is your Lord able, willing to bring down food from heaven, heavenly food, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, for us to eat? قَالَ اتَّقُ اللَّهِ. He says, fear your Lord. What's wrong with you people? You've seen all these things. He says, اتَّقُ اللَّهِ, fear Allah. قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. We want to eat from this food so that our hearts can find a reconciliation and our hearts can find tranquility. تَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا. And that we are finally well aware, complete in our reconciliation, that we have accepted the truth with you. And on that, Isa says, Allahumma Rabbana anzil alayna ma'ida. Oh Allah, bring down this table spread of food from the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here it is, the one who eats from it and disbelieves, they will be the most severe in their punishment. The second incident is Musa alayhi salam. Musa, after speaking to Allah directly, no Jibreel, no barrier, no translator, directly speaks to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah speaks direct to him. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Musa says, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, oh my Lord, I want to see, I want to gaze upon you. Let me see you, Ya Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْ تَرَانِ. You will not see me, but أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. Look to that distant mountain. فَإِنْ اسْتَقْرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If that mountain remains as it is, you will be able to see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ. When one of the majesty of your Lord became known to that mountain, it was pulverized. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. And Musa fell down unconscious or dead. And Allah brings him back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, lets it be known that the physical element that you have in your life cannot witness me, Ya Musa. In the day of judgment, in the Akhirah, yes, you will be able to be blessed with the greatest ni'mah of Jannah. The greatest ni'mah of Jannah, an-nazar ila wajhi rabbihim. That we will be able to look upon the countess, the face of our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya arhamar rahimin, wujuhun yawma'idhin nadira. Where our faces will be brightened, that we have that capacity to be near to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, near to our Lord in the highest levels of Jannah. Musa asks, it's an impossibility, but Allah does not just simply say no, Allah demonstrates the reality of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrates this with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim says, oh my Lord, arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Oh Allah, show me how you will bring the dead to life. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Allah says, is it because you do not believe that this can be? And Ibrahim says, بَلَا وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. My Lord, I believe, but I want that there is a tranquility in my heart. I want to be able to witness something of that nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْهِ. Take four different shapes, sizes, colors, feathers of different birds and bring them to you, butcher them and mix them up and ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا and put some of them on every different place, distant mountains. ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ then invite them back to you. يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا. They will be brought back to you. And you will see the witness of how I bring the dead to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes manifest to Ibrahim that which is there, not because Ibrahim is lacking in faith, but because all of us at times need to be inspired by the lives of the prophets of Allah to learn that reconciling our faith and asking for greater knowledge and seeking questions that are not from an antagonistic perspective, but from a perspective of healing and openness and love and candor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the essence of our faith. Our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certain questions that are not answered by Allah. You know, there are certain requests made by the Prophet ﷺ where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant the Prophet ﷺ everything he asked for in the way that he asked for it. One account of it is him, is his uncle not coming into faith before his death, right? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one who is nearest to Allah azza wa jal, but that is not something that is given to him, peace and blessings be upon him. And in that is a very powerful lesson that Musa asks and there are things not given. Ibrahim asks, things not given. Nuh asks, things not given. Each and every Nabi is taught and given to us, is made as a teaching and an example for us in that regard. I want to end so that we can have a little bit of discussion, a little bit of Q&A, if possible, thereafter, by mentioning that Ibrahim alayhi salam was set as the primary example for the Prophet in terms of tawheed rather than legislation or following the laws. Musa alayhi salam was made as the prophet an example of how to institute laws and to lead the community as a community of faith of practicing aspects of worship. So when salah is instituted, the figure who mentors the Prophet ﷺ on the Isra and Mi'raj and says, Ya Muhammad, inna ummaka la tutiq, qad jarrabtu bani Isra'in, return to your Lord and 50 salah is too much, I've dealt with bani Isra'in, go back to Allah and ask him to make it, you know, more tenable for your community. So the Prophet heeds the advice and returns to Allah, and from 50 eventually becomes the 5 prayers multiplied by 10 in reward. Musa is the one who mentors the Prophet ﷺ, who is set as the example of following the relationship of the legislation and the worship and the sharia and implementation of the laws. But the primary example of tawheed, of singling out only Allah, of an undeniable commitment, a holding completely on to the truth, and not relinquishing our monotheism, our dua only to Allah, our commitment only to Allah, removing any obstacles that may lead to any variance of love or faith or anything that is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The primary example is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to grow in that knowledge and to gain that maturity of faith, that Ibrahim is our role model in our behavior, in our habits, in our practice, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and I with a commitment to the truth and a practice to it upon the footsteps of Ibrahim, and that we are from those who are in the camp of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah leads us to that which is blessed in this dunya and akhirah. May Allah accept your fasting if you are fasting, and may Allah give you a successful fast in the day to come, inshallah. If you have not yet broken your fast, do remember your poor brother Yahya in your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it and make it easy for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I success. Allahumma ameen.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Yahya, for that beautiful story, that descriptive story. I was not wrong, mashallah, for those of you who were in the beginning with us, alhamdulillah. Ameen to all your beautiful du'as during the session, inshallah. I don't want to take any more time, and I want to make sure you can go and pray Fajr, inshallah, as well. So anyone who has questions, please feel free to drop them into the chat, preferably message them to me privately, inshallah, so that you can be taken easily in priority sequence, inshallah, and keep them on the topic of the story of Ibrahim al-Islam and the bird, inshallah ta'ala. Spin the wheel question. We don't have one just yet today. I don't know. Sheikh Yahya, do you have a test question that you want to pose to the audience, inshallah, that they can use to spin the wheel? I don't know if you have anything based on the content that we have today. Spin the wheel is basically an exercise that we have that allows them to win specific prizes from the Al-Maghrib world.
So maybe list for those who came a little bit late the 3 points that I covered.
Ooh, whoever gets it right the fastest, inshallah, in the chat, we'll look out for that. We will count you for the first spin of the wheel, inshallah, and that way it'll be a great reminder for everyone else who is trying to catch the sessions as well, or catch the points as well, inshallah. So go. As soon as we see the first message that's correct, inshallah, we'll allow you to spin the wheel. Do them all in one message, though, just so that it's fair for everyone. You have to list all 3 points in one message. I'm sure that everyone's typing right now, so I will give you guys a chance, inshallah, to type it out. Perfect. Okay, so Sheikh, if you want to repeat the question in its entirety.
Okay, so the question is, list the 3 points that we can take as benefit from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
All in one message, inshallah. Okay, I see someone with 2. Everyone so far has had 1 that I can see. Bismillah. Okay, make sure you say them to everybody. Make sure you send a message to everybody, not just myself. Drop it in the chat, inshallah. So far, I think we've only gotten to 2 the most. Omar and Shara are about ready to drop the bomb on us, giving us a preliminary message. Perfect. Guys, you have to make sure that you get all 3 points in one message. Otherwise, you're not eligible if it's not all together and they're not all correct. All right, bismillah. I see a lot of people helping out others. MashaAllah. Okay, hold on. Ra'isat, three points of benefits. Standing for the truth, overcoming hardship through Allah's guidance, standing true to your beliefs, and accepting the truth. Sheikh, is that correct?
I see here, Sister Rahma, mashallah, reconciling your faith. Look for truth in difficult times, searching for meaning and signs from the majesty of Allah and the creation around us. Yes.
All in one message? Hold on, yes. I'm still scrolling. hold on, I'm going to go up. Sister Rahma was first, mashallah. I'm still scrolling up to catch your message. Yeah. Amatullah, Rida, still scrolling. I want to make sure we're being fair and that I don't get any messages after the class. Bismillah. I don't see that message. Sheikh, was it messaged directly to you?
No. It's on the group chat. Sister Rahma at 5:35.
35.
Oh, maybe Sister Rahma came afterwards. I might have missed the ones before it.
I was going to say.
I'll let you sort that out.
Put the onus on me. Bismillah. Okay. No, I think the first one I saw was Ra'isat. And sorry, the 3 points that she mentioned was standing for the truth, overcoming hardship through Allah's guidance, and standing true to your beliefs and accepting the truth. Was that correct, Sheikh?
Yes, but there, the one that's missing is searching for meanings and signs.
Close.
From the heavens and the creation of the heavens and the earth and what is beneath us.
Bismillah. I think then Rahma might have it closest. So reconciling your faith isn't questioning it. Look for truth in difficult times and searching for meanings and signs of the majesty of Allah. Would that be the most correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. We tried our best. Everyone who did it, mashallah, jazakallah khair. I still see people private messaging me responses. Jazakallah khair, everyone who participated. Inshallah, you'll get plenty of more opportunities to spin the wheel. But congratulations to Sister Rahma for getting it correct. Let's quickly pull up the wheel as you guys start messaging questions, inshallah, again on the topic of today's lesson. And let's do a quick spin and see what Sister Rahma wins. Bismillah. I'm going to click the spin. Rahma, make a quick dua. This is the time to do it, inshallah. Everyone else, please make a dua for her as well. And let's click spin. Month free of Faith Essentials. Faith Essentials is Al Maghrib's complete online learning library, and Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim actually has a course on there on the topic of marriage and engagement. So inshallah, you get a month to binge it. Rahma, please send me your email near the end of the session just so I don't miss it, inshallah, and congratulations once again on your win. All right, now I want to be fair to everyone who's messaging questions and jump back up there to see if I can catch any questions. The first one I see quickly from Sarah from Melbourne as well, mashallah, staying up tonight with you, Sheikh, is was Prophet Ibrahim in his teenage years or adulthood when he started questioning idol worship?
So that's a question that there's really no correct answer to. It's not something where I could say the Prophet said this was his age, but we know that he was a young man. So whether he had attained puberty or maturity or not yet, Allahu A'lam. Most of the ulama of tafsir, they assume that he was on the cusp of maturing in that sense when he questioned his father. So he was, you know, a teenager, but he wasn't, you know, a young child yet. Yeah.
Beautiful. The next question that I see from Ola is, can the Sheikh speak in more detail about the surah about the food coming down to Prophet Jesus, Jesus' disciple? This is what the Christians speak about called the Last Supper. How do we explain this to non-Muslims?
Yeah, so for us, we believe that that's entirely a reality. The fifth chapter of the Quran, the last two pages of it, of Surah Al-Ma'idah, this is where it gets the name Al-Ma'idah, the table spread, is about this incident. What I would probably recommend is if you go to tafsir.com, and just read the section on tafsir for the last 14 verses of Surah Al-Ma'idah, and it will give you last 12 verses of Surah Al-Ma'idah. It will give you, inshallah, a good detailed kind of answer. You can also Google Yahya Ibrahim, Why We Love Jesus, which is a piece that I wrote for MuslimMatters.org, or maybe somebody can link it there. And it's about how we represent Isa. What do we see him as? I also have a four-part series, lectures about our Orthodox belief as Muslims about Jesus. It's an online kind of thing on YouTube for talks that I had given that you can listen to them, inshallah.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Jazakumullah. I'll grab that link in just a second. Someone else was saying, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve his other books?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his books are preserved in the Quran. And there are always going to be a repeal of laws as humanity kind of continues. But the final law has always been the Quran as the mandate of life. So think of it from Surah Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman, 'allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan. The ever merciful Allah, the Lord of all mercy, the Lord of all compassion, 'allama al-Quran. He taught the Quran, and then Allah says, He created man, khalaqa al-insan. And the Quran is put forward before the creation of man, meaning that the intent for humanity was always that they will practice the beliefs of Tawheed of the Quran, and that when it is the time for them to have the complete legislation, it'll be manifest in the book of the Quran. So Jesus says, as Allah tells us in Surah Ali Imran, He said to the people of Israel, to Bani Israel, جِئْتُكُمْ لِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. I have come to make permissible for you some of what you have made impermissible upon yourselves. And therefore, we see that even in the time of Jesus, He made revisions to the laws according to the revelation given to Him from the laws that were, for example, in the Torah that preceded Him through the Injil, the gospel that was given to Him. Peace and blessings be upon Him. But the last mandate, the last testimony is the Quran. And Allah says, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. We do not make a distinction between any of the messengers in the sense that they all taught Tawheed, although there were different legislations, different legal principles in one point of human history as it related to others.
Beautiful. We'll take a couple more questions, inshallah, before we have to part with Sheikh Ibrahim. The next question that I see is, weren't Jesus' disciples the same disciples from the Bible? And that's from Munir Khan.
Yes. So the names of them are not known to us in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Muslims, we never hold on to personalities or individuals, right? We hold on to the messages and the experiences and the moral, socio-ethical perspectives that we are taught from their message. So it's not about whether the name is Paul or James or, you know, John. What's important is what were the interactions that they had with Jesus that Allah describes and that are found in the Bible and the gospel that are consistent with our faith. So let me just clarify this really quickly since we're, you know, getting a few questions about it. As Muslims, our aqidah, our belief as it relates to the scriptures of the nations that came before us, especially the texts of Bani Israel, the Torah and the Injil, we have three important systematic beliefs. The first is that which is corroborated by our Quran is accepted as truth. So when Moses says, as is quoted in the Torah, as is quoted in Deuteronomy and other places, O Israel, your Lord is one. Your Lord is one. We say this is haq. You know, this is the truth. This is the word of God that Moses said that. We have that in our Quran. It's corroborated. Number two, that which the Quran rejects and sets the record straight, then that is our belief, and we leave off what has been seen as either a tempering, a mistranslation, whether intentional or not. Such as, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ, they did not kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ, they did not crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, it was made to seem so. So our orthodox belief is, Jesus was not killed, he was not placed on the cross, it was somebody other than Jesus who was in his place. That's our belief. So if there comes a verse that says that Jesus was put on a cross, Jesus died on a cross, we say we do not accept this as Muslims because it goes against the tenets of what the Quran was sent with. The third, and this is probably the most important kind of clarification, is that which the Quran is silent about. And there is no corroboration or condemnation. There's no corroboration or rejection. And it is found in the Bible, we accept it and we can narrate it without saying it is truth and without saying it is falsehood, but we can narrate it. So we can narrate that there was a prophet named Samuel. There's no text in the Sunnah or in the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ or in the Quran that mentions a prophet named Samuel. But it's found in the Bible, and a story is a story of Tawheed in certain parts. We can accept of it that we can accept the narration of it and extract lessons from it without saying it is truth. And we can reject from it that which does not appear to be consistent with our teachings. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So those are three important elements as it relates to the stories of Bani Israel.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. I see that it's hit 5:45. Alhamdulillah. And jazakumullah khair to everyone who's already who submitted so many lovely questions on the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inshallah, we'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your Fajr time. And thank you for gifting us for your late Sahur. I wouldn't give my late Sahur time to anybody, but your late Sahur time and your early Fajr time, mashallah. May Allah bless you and protect you and your family and your cats, mashallah. Ameen, ya Rab. And hopefully we get a chance to keep up with you online across the rest of Ramadan. Inshallah, we'll see you around. Jazakallah khair once again. Imam Yahya Ibrahim, as-salam.
Before you let him go, I just want to give him salam to him.
It's a pleasure to see you. I wish I knew you were watching, Yahi. Wallahi, I would have cut short, man. I apologize.
No. I was enjoying that so much. I was like, please keep going. I know you have to go catch Salah. So that's the only excuse we'll accept.
So I guess the only thing to say is now fade to black. MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. Well done.
Allah yahfakum.
Forgive me for not attending your session, Sheikh Saad. I'm just going to head off to the salah. Allahi barik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
اللهم صل على نبينا محمد.